I'm really excited about what we're doing today. So let me start with prayer. Father, thank you for the concern that you've given all of us for those and the generations behind us. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege to have children, grandchildren, and even some of us one day great-grandchildren. But to know that you have given us that command, you should teach these things to your children and your children's children. And so I pray, Father, that you will bless this day and all of its pieces. And we thank you for the privilege to be here. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Just a couple of housekeeping things. On this table over here is all of the best emails and notes and stuff like this from different sources that we have collected on grandparenting. A couple of them I would like for you to pay close attention to is this one produced by Legacy Coalition on grandparenting at Thanksgiving. And so, of course, that's coming up pretty soon. On your table is a bookmark. Some of you, there's not necessarily one for everybody, but at least every family. And if not, we have a few more over there, all right? But one of the things I want to point out about this is all those words at the top are not superfluous, okay? It spells out grandparenting, okay? G is for grace, guide with grace, all right? R for respect roles and so on. So it's just everything that we kind of pass on is right there on the top of that card. Then this particular handout, keep current with the info you need to defend your kids, okay? This is all kinds of resources about child sex trafficking, the dangers, what do you need to know, what using porn physically can change the brain, things I'll teach my children about pornography, YouTube, and how to have safe parental controls, holiday gift guide. I mean, there's all kinds of things. This tells you where all of these resources are from this particular organization called Defend Young Minds. Just want you to make aware of that. And very important is one from a biblical standpoint. It's this right here. How do we disciple our grandchildren? You see, because the command is what? Go and make grandchildren? No, go and make disciples. All right. Well, what is a disciple? All right. Well, we know when Jesus had his disciples, a disciple is a learner. That's literally what the Greek word means, a learner. So someone who's learning. So that's very, very, very helpful as well. Then two questions that are worth the whole thing we've done before on questions that would be good for you to remember. 5 conversation-altering words. Tell me more about that, rather than, why in the world are you wearing your hair like that? You know? Tell me more about that. Or they say something and you say, hey, help me understand that. Can you show me? They're doing something here. Show me how that works and stuff. In other words, you're getting into their life that way. Great little handout for that. And then this right here should be enough for everybody on the center table. Legacy Coalition, which has been focusing, really is one of the few national or international organizations on helping people be better Christian grandparents. Their national conference is here in Dallas this spring, at Frisco at Stonebar Church. There'll be 34 breakout sessions that you can choose and go to and stuff, like how do you understand social media for little kids? How do you help them understand that or what have you? It might be how do you talk to a discontented teenager? There'll just be every possible thing that you can, so you can go for where you really want to go. But this is being offered. It's each day. It's just during the day. And they have national speakers as well. And so once you see that, around the corner, there are books that we have. So rather than trying to get enough of them for everybody to buy or anything like that, so, for example, here's Overcoming Grandparenting Barriers, all right? How to Navigate Painful Problems. Long-distance grandparenting. Anybody have grandchildren live in another city? Okay. How do you do that? Nurturing the faith of your grandchildren when you can't be there in person. All kinds of books over there. So what you do is you go over there, you pull out your phone, you turn it over, and you take a picture of the back, and that'll tell you exactly how to get it. Okay. Besides, all those other resources from Legacy Coalition are right here, and that's on the table, and everybody should have one of those. Okay. So that's your resources I wanted you to be aware of. Marquet reminded me of this one. The Little Big Book for Grandmothers. Okay, we got a lot of grandmothers in. But Dan's Little Baby. I mean, just things that help little ones understand the way God works. Okay, we're still waiting for one more of our participants. I've texted her. Jeannie Cox, who's going to, said she could be here to help, but she also has a very, very busy plate on Sunday morning. So we're hoping she will be here. My purpose for having her, she has four children. She and her husband, John, all in their 20s. So they've been through this whole thing. But she's in charge of our children's curriculum. What do we teach at this church from kindergarten to, is it fourth grade or 4 years old, or is it five? To five, four, kindergarten, you know, to five. What do we do with them, and why are we doing that? Therefore, when you know what it is, you can come along and beside it because of what they were teaching them today, you see? And this helps follow that along. So we're hoping she will be here in just a little bit. Now, starting over here with our elders first, all right? This is Jay and Nancy Turner. Most of you know them. I was looking up when you joined. You've been here almost three decades. They've been here since this, just barely after the church started, right? So Jay's an elder in our church, and Nancy has been involved in every one of the women's ministries and so forth. They have 10 grandchildren. And what's the oldest?
11.
11 down to?
One.
Missing
this year. First year, right. We're not having a grandchild.
And then another daughter had a remarriage, and that happens for all of us and stuff, bringing two more children into the whole mix. And so I'm going to ask them to kind of speak to that, too, because more and more grandparents are dealing with blended families, okay? I'm the cause of a blended family here with Marquez, 300 grandchildren. So I have to kind of worry much, about that. But it's been fun. It really has. And it's wonderful how well they've accepted me. I appreciate that. So over here is Stephen and Meredith. All right. Harry Hammer. And they are parents, all right, not grandparents. And I wanted you to hear some things from their perspective. And there's Miss Jean down there. they have eight children, all right. The oldest, Margaret, is 14. And the youngest, two, are twins that are one, okay? So I was hoping she'd bring those today. they were so much fun. At any rate, they've got things that they can pass to us about what they're doing with their children, as well as they have grandparents on either side, some really pro-Christian things, some not. All right, how do you deal with that from that side of the picture as well? And Jeannie, I've already introduced you and your family. We're so glad you could make it. I imagine you still had a line of people asking you questions before you got here. Appreciate what she's going to share with us related to the curriculum and what what the church is trying to do with the littles, and then how we can come alongside with that. Okay? So the microphones are on the table. You have to push the button on the bottom to turn it on. So I'm going to start with our the Turners down here and let them tell you a little bit about their story. Okay? Is it on?
I'll start. It's not on. You can probably hear me. You wouldn't be able to hear me, so.
Check. Do you want to use this one?
Yeah, get close. Anyway, there's a lot of people in this room that have a lot more experience than we do, so this is a bit humbling.
Pete, not working. You want to take this one?
I'll just talk loud.
This one works.
Stephen's got
Pete, this
one. Some of us are wearing hearing aids.
Oh. All right, so anyway, first of all, I guess big picture, I think about when we were raising our children, we used to talk about quality time only came with quantity time. As I was thinking about being grandparents, we really don't have, most of us don't have that quantity of time with our grandkids. So it's extra special to plan quality time and to be intentional. So that's a big part of our grandparenting, even though until recently we had 6 of our 10 in Dallas, 3 of them just moved to Oklahoma. So now we're down 3 here. So we're having to think even more about being intentional. So we do have 10 grandchildren. They came all at one a year for 10 years. We missed out on this year. It's been fabulous in terms of that experience, but exhausting. And I think you had asked us to talk about a few things that we enjoyed and with our grandkids. I'll talk about the fun things, Nate's going to talk about the spiritual things, but one of the most enjoyable things we've done is Honey and Pop's cousins camp. And we're fortunate we have a place in the country, but you don't need a place in the country. But they had to be out of diapers, but the parents could drop them off for 3 days. Cousins camp could be for 2 hours, it could be for a week. A week sounds a little daunting for us, but we started it a few years ago, and we have a buddy system, we have rules, no whining in Pop's house, first time obedience, attitude of gratitude, those kind of, we'd have rules set out, we had responsibilities, Nancy planned all kinds of crafts for them, we had scavenger hunts, bonfires, we even had a chief show up in full garb with his war bonnet. And so that, you know, what was amazing about that was to see the way our grandchildren bonded. And I would say there's nothing more joyful for a grandparent than to see their children's children enjoy each other. So that's been a fabulous thing that we've done. Another thing that we've done, you know, one of the scriptures, and I won't get Proverbs exactly correct, but it basically says we're to take care of our children's children, or we're to provide for our children's children. And our parents each left us some money, and so what we've done with that is it was left to us contractually, but we have allocated that for doing things like this with our grandchildren. And the cousins camp is one thing. None of these take a lot of money, but we did this summer, and we try to do every other summer, have all of our children and grandchildren get together for a family vacation. This year it was the beach, and we were just talking, we have 3 of our grandchildren this weekend. By the way, one thing that you have to remember when your children call and say, hey, Mom, Dad, can you keep the children this weekend? You need to clarify what weekend means. our daughter called us and said, oh, we're, for the weekend, okay, we can keep them for Saturday, Sunday. Well, we're leaving Friday. We'll be back Sunday. Okay.
5 in the morning.
Yeah, 5 in the morning. So we'll be there Thursday. What are you getting home Sunday? You know, what time in the afternoon? Oh, we're not getting home till late Sunday night. So anyway, just a warning, a little warning there. But anyway, taking our family for vacation is another thing. Obviously, you have more help when you have your children with you and your grandchildren. But just, again, doing fun stuff. This was the beach time, and it just was a blast to see them kind of wander off with their buddy. You know, each one has a buddy. And so that's been a spectacular thing that we've really enjoyed. And then I guess the third thing I would say that's been most enjoyable for me as a grandfather is we decided this year that we would start taking one by themselves on a vacation type thing. And so we started with our 11-year-old this year. He loves history, so we took him to Boston. And so we got to walk the Freedom Trail. He got to throw some tea over at the tea party. We went on a ghost walk. We rode around in this duck boat that drives around town, and then it goes in the water, and he got to drive it. We went to Harvard, and then I guess the highlight for me was going to Fenway Park and seeing the Red Sox play. But anyway, what was so rewarding is, so we left Friday, and we were coming back on a Monday morning early. So Sunday night, we're all in the same room, and he's getting in bed, and I said, "Sam, have you enjoyed yourself?" And he said, "Yes, but I'm exhausted." I'm like, Nancy and I, we're ready to go too.
I texted my two daughters and my daughter-in-law that have children and asked them what they would say. What has been most meaningful to you about our grandparents? And it was good for me to see, because it's not, I thought that was probably the best way to look at it. Not what I think, but what they think. And I love each one of them has, just off the top of their head, they've said different things, but they've all said one-on-one time with our grandchildren is the best thing that you do. And, you know, and that's hard. That's hard when you have out-of-town grandchildren. It's hard, you know, it's hard to make time. But one thing that I kind of early on felt like that birthday parties, I didn't really need to be at all their birthday parties, particularly the out-of-town ones. But if I could show up sometime around their birthday, you know, take them out on a one-on-one. We just did that with our 5-year-old grandson this week. We took him to the last home Ranger game. Jay and somebody invited him to a state box. So, you know, all of this was way bigger than anything that he'd ever experienced. And we got to take him to the Ranger game one-on-one time. And Robin, my daughter-in-law, texted back and said, he just came home so confident, so filled up because of that one-on-one time. And, I think that she our daughter-in-law, has her PhD in spiritual formation of children and has been the children's director at All Saints. So that's the kind of daughter-in-law I have. So that tells you something that, I'm very blessed with that. But she said, I love what she said. I think the best thing for us right now is quality one-on-one time. They come home feeling so affirmed and confident and loved. It's really not about the burger or the mango. It's about feeling known. And I think that's building a great foundation for things like conversations about character and their spiritual lives in the future. To have a spiritual friendship with both of my grandparents was one of the sweetest gifts God has ever given me. And it was built in large part with school pickups and weeknight dinners. I love that my kids will be able to have that same connection with y'all.
And our daughter-in-law comes from a broken home, too. So
yes, that's
cool.
Right.
Our grandparents were really.
And she moved here because her grandparents were here. That's her mother, not until she was in 7th grade. And then she also suggested reading books alongside her children. I thought that was a great idea. Reading books like Narnia, even reading with them or reading it as they get older at the same time and talking about it. I thought that was very insightful. And my daughter Kenny said the most meaningful thing that y'all do is the intentional, intentional about developing relationships with each grandchild and prioritizing making memories with your family. And then our daughter Megan just said that speaking into them when there's problems, you know, speaking into them. And I've really found that with Megan's children are 9, 10, and 11, and they've just moved to Oklahoma. They just, Megan married in August, so this is all new. And she's having, you know, all kinds of issues, you know, with moving alone. But she, you know, if I call in the morning, she's having to homeschool one of them 3 days a week, and I know it, in the end it's going to be a blessing, but she is, it's new to her, and it's hard, and he struggled, and I call in the morning, I pray with him. I do it once a week. I call in the morning, I pray with him on the phone. It's just an outside voice, you know, to be able to talk to them. I think particularly when there's problems, me calling and trying to get with them, trying to speak to them. My daughter Kenny has a put in a home phone line, which is, you know, a new thing. I just pray they have to have a phone on the wall, but she's trying to keep it, you know, from having to do the cell phone thing. And I think that's what a lot of young couples are doing now. They're putting in the home line so they have a way to, you know, as her oldest one is 10 now, as they get old enough for her to leave them by themselves, there's a home phone that they can call her. That's one thing they do. But she, I'm finding that I can call that number and talk to a child, you know, whoever answers. I mean, just things like that, finding that one-on-one time, particularly to speak into them spiritually. One other thing that Jane, I've just gotten is this big, Amy Tassos in our library suggested this. This is the biggest story book, and it's a great Bible storybook, and they have it, you know, they have it at Logos, they have it in our church bookstore, but it is a way to do the Bible with them. There's actually a little QR code that makes the Bible story into a video, and then what I love best are the questions. They go deep, and they're really good. So we're trying to establish a time to do that with it. I mean, all of my grandchildren from probably age 3 to 11 are able to do this. And, it, you know, it's another way to do that.
I was just going to say also, this book, Cousins Camp, it's amazing, full of ideas that you could do, as I said, for an hour or for a weekend, and it's by Susan Yates, called Cousins Camp.
Okay, let's hear from Stephen and Meredith now. See if you got enough juice with that one.
Check, check.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. Well, thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here. As Pete said, we are not grandparents. So we're going to be giving a little bit of a different perspective, but I thought it might be helpful to tell a little bit about our story. Because as Pete mentioned, we have different backstories and therefore different relationships with our parents, although we're blessed by them in different ways, which we're going to talk about. I grew up here in Dallas. I was raised by my mother. My parents divorced when I was 3, and my mom was and is a Unitarian. And so we were raised going to a Unitarian church. For those not familiar with the Unitarian church, it is very strange. Belief system. It's not really a belief system at all, but it's kind of about being a good person. And so, you know, that was a difficult way to grow up, but through God's mercy, he brought me to faith in himself when I was a sophomore at Princeton. I accepted Christ as my Savior and changed my whole life. Everything about my life changed then. And I met Meredith a few years after that. And as we're going to talk about, God has blessed us with 8 children. We moved back to Dallas here about 4 years ago. My parents still live here, my mom and my dad. And so we have close relationships with both of them. And so talking about how we kind of navigate that, my parents are still not believers, although we are praying for them, our children are praying for them, and we have close relationships with them. So we're going to look forward to talking about navigating that. Want to talk about your story a little bit?
Sure. I'm Meredith, and I was raised in a Christian home, and that has been such a blessing as we now have children of our own that I'm able to go to my parents, and they are very humble, and they will share transparently about the ways that they have done things wrong, which I have so appreciated. They don't say this is the right way and this is the only way, but they will encourage us as we're trying to train our children in the truth, and just walk beside us when I have questions. My mother in particular will often, I'll call her with a parenting question, and she's listening, and I can tell it pains her to, but she'll say, okay, I need to take off my grandmother hat, and I need to put on my mother hat. And then, and she'll say, I really think he needs a spanking. Like, I have so appreciated that of my family and the generations before me, that they have been able to pour into us as parents, and then they're, we're able to pour into our own children.
Yeah, I mean, we keep going more, and that
you can give us a little more. We got time.
Sure. Okay. Well, so part of what we talked about is that Meredith's parents live in Virginia, where she grew up. My parents live here, so we interact with my parents more. And since we have 8 children, you know, we need a lot of help. And my parents have been real blessings to us in the time that we moved back in the last 4 years to be very, very helpful to us. My mom comes over once a week to watch the children, which allows Meredith to go out and do errands as she needs to. And even my dad, who, you know, as I said, I was raised by my mom, and so he wasn't that involved in my life growing up, but he has become closer to our family in the time that we've come back. And one thing we really appreciate about both of them having such a large family is they're very helpful in kind of, you know, we need to be away for this weekend, or it would be great for us to be away, and kind of seeing that they can be helpful to us now that they're in retirement or near retirement and have more time to come alongside us and kind of support our marriage in that way. And that's been a great blessing. And it's been a blessing for us with my parents to be able to have them more involved in our lives. And even, for example, to come out to the church for the twins' baptism. You know, my dad hasn't been in the church for since he was a child, probably, but to have him to come into church for that was a great blessing. And so, you know, we see that it's an amazing opportunity. And for those of you who might be in that situation where kind of your counterpart grandparents on the other side are not believers, I would see that as a wonderful opportunity the Lord has given you. You know, the Lord has given you the kind of window into somebody else's life, a non-believer's life. He's brought you together in this way. And Meredith's parents have always been tremendous in, especially Meredith's mom, of saying, you know, this is a special day, maybe the day where my mom's father passed away. She's going to send a note or a message, or I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you. And that's meant a lot as we kind of try to witness to my parents, seeing another believer pouring into them. Has been a great encouragement.
Hey, Meredith, talk a little bit about your children, too, and what y'all are doing to try to train them spiritually. Okay.
I feel like you could talk to that really well. So our children, we have 8 children. The oldest is 14, down to the 1-year-old twins, and so they're all in different stages of development. We're so grateful to be at PCPC, and the children's ministry is so just top-notch. We love how intentional the God's word is being poured into their lives here. In our own family, Stephen has done a wonderful job at leading us in family devotions as often as his schedule permits. He has a very busy work schedule, but that has been a really sweet time, even if it's just at the dinner table right after our meal, that we will read the Bible together or discuss the sermon on Sunday afternoons and what we got out of it. That's another way that I feel like Stephen has done such a beautiful job in leading our family. Back to something my mom has done really well in regard to Stephen's leadership of our family is ever since we've been married, she has made such an effort not to speak ill of Stephen to me. And even when I come to her with things I wish could be different or complaints, she will look at the best in Stephen and encourage me in that rather than joining in with my pity party. I think that she could, I think that if she were to speak ill of Stephen, then that would just undermine his leadership, and I would see myself as such a victim. And so that's something I've really appreciated that she as a grandmother has done for us. Yes.
In terms of the spiritual development, one thing that we, I think Meredith, this comes from Meredith's parents, and, you know, we've learned so much from them parenting in our marriage and as we started having children long ago, but one thing that they turned us on to that was very beneficial earlier in marriage was a program called Growing Kids God's Way, which is kind of an older program, but it's a series that talks about kind of the spiritual formation of children, especially in the early years, and how you kind of prepare children for first-time obedience and some of those other kind of building blocks that are going to allow you to, you know, build character as time goes on. And so that was something we kind of started out our marriage listening to those CDs and thinking, okay, how do we, what do we do? And what is the task of parenting and how do we go about this? And I think that's something that I would just encourage all of you. You all have great wisdom to share. And parents in our time, we're inundated by the culture with this is how you should be parenting. And there's, we've revolutionized parenting and all sorts of messages, whether from social media or other places, that leave a lot of parents in our time confused about, am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? But you have God's word. If you've hidden God's word in your heart, you have wisdom and you have the experience to be able to pour into the children and redirect them to God's word, which is what we need to challenge. And a lot of things about parenting have changed for our generation, but the fundamentals of the challenge of raising sinful children and trying to direct them to the Lord have not changed. And y'all have the wisdom that your children need, and you can be redirecting them and pointing them back to God's word about those issues. So I'd encourage you in that.
I'd say along those same lines, my parents have always just encouraged us and supported us in our parenting. And I remember one time in particular, they've never been hectored us about things that we might be doing differently than the way they did them, but they saw a blind spot in the parenting of one of our children, and they called it, like, they had us over and wanted to discuss that with us. And that child at the time was 5, and I remember they said if we didn't deal with this sin, this heart issue with this child, then it would probably resurface in the future, and that they really just saw this blind spot, and they went, and because they don't hector us, we took it immediately and we heeded it, and we really wanted to deal with that and get to the bottom of that issue. So I just so encourage you as your believers and steeping yourself in God's word to when you see those areas, to encourage your children as they're parenting their children, and to say, you know, what God's word has to say about those things.
Yeah. What you got on your list there? I so want you guys to hear from them, because I think they go, how could these guys help you for the believing parent? I know one of the things I love about
Meredith. A little louder.
One of the things I love about Meredith and Stephen is they allow their children to date Stephen's grandparents. And so Meredith and I early on talked about, hey, what it's looked like. That was a prayer concern of mine for her with Stephen, their great parents and grandparents. The one-on-one time is crucial. And that's where the real conversations happen. And I see their children as missionaries for those grandparents. And it's going to be through the sweet conversations that their children have with those grandparents. I believe that's where the Lord's going to do the magic and really allow them to be the ambassadors. But talk about, we've got stuff on your list. What'd you got?
That has been so beautiful for us to see that our children, in their innocence and they have no fear. They have been able to speak to their grandparents, their unbelieving grandparents, in ways that we would have been very fearful to speak about. They will have them over for Easter dinner after church, and our son one time had prepared this entire book telling the whole Easter story, and he shared, I mean, it was probably a 20-minute book that he read to us all, and the whole story of what Jesus died for our sins and what this means for us. And he will boldly pray over meals when asked with the grandparents, and he will pray, and Lord, we know that if we don't trust in you, then we will be going to hell, and we will be
going to hell. Got a real imagination.
So they have so much boldness at their ages that's so precious, and we have really seen the grandparents soften their hearts and them be willing to. They remind the children, they'll ask the children, do you need to pray before the meal, even though they would never pray on their own before a meal. So that's been really beautiful to observe.
I think our approach to that is we've just always been honest with the children about my parents not being believers. We didn't try to sugarcoat that or cover it up. And I think that's been important, and that's cultivated, you know, that we are praying for them, that we want to see a move and change in their lives. And So it's just been encouraging to see the children do see it upon themselves. I mean, it's heavy on them, but and they love their grandparents, but I think that's why they're eager missionaries to their grandparents.
Go to Jamie then.
How have your parents pursued them from a distance?
Yes, so my parents also, like the Turners were saying, they try to have all the family come together about once a year, and they'll rent a house in Florida so that all the cousins can come together. And that's such a sweet time. And they make it available. They say, okay, this is when it's available, and this is when it ends. And they just tell us and my siblings and their families, come when you can, but there's no pressure to come for the whole time. Oftentimes, Stephen is not able to come at all because of his work. But if you can only come for 3 of the days of the week, that is fine. They've never put pressure on us to, you know, you must be at our house for Christmas, you must be there for Thanksgiving. There, it is always, the emphasis is what makes the most sense for your family. We are our own family unit, that's how they see us, and they want for us to do what makes the most sense for us and what will grow our family together closer, more closely.
Yeah, and I always appreciated that support from my in-laws of saying, you know, we're not compelling you to follow exactly our model and live in the area where we live and spend as much time as you could possibly spend with us, but they've been supportive as through many stages and we've moved many places, always being supportive and opening their home to us as they could at those times.
Let me add to that, and then we'll let Jeannie down there. One of the things is I have done lots of premarital counseling and, you know, weddings, is asking them the questions, you know, your biggest problem when you're getting newly married is going to happen on October the 1st. And they all go, what's that? And I said, that's when your mothers will start thinking about holidays. And every mother, different sides, has a plan for what it's going to be. So I said, the way you handle that is you tell them what you're going to do in August.
Okay.
No worries. We will come on Thursday afternoon, and we'll spend Saturday afternoon with my other, in other words, you tell them what you want, all right? That way, there's not a fight, and there's not a disappointment if you're telling that in advance. And for Christmas, or special holidays that your family maybe has a tradition about, they always do this on July the 4th, all right? Well, if that's the case, then maybe there's something else you could always do with the other set of parents on another day, you see. But you have to decide those things ahead of time. Otherwise, people get their feelings hurt, and then nobody wants to tell you they're hurt, but they are, you know. If you can forestall that, you are far better off down the road, okay? That's just one little side, you know, piece there. So, Jeannie, talk to us about the little ones.
Well, if you serve in any form of children's ministry, I'd like you to stand up. If you serve with us, if you teach a Sunday school class, if you do any of the nursery with us, these ladies and these guys are getting it done, is all I'm saying. I surveyed all the grandparents that serve with me, a lot of whom, like the Batemans in Houston and Susan Banowski, who are up there now. Thank you so much. Can we give them a hand? Baby that you have absolutely no blood connection with, it's really stuff. It's tough to have a child talk back to you and you go, I really can't correct you like I would like to right now. But it keeps you in the game. And every grandparent that I surveyed over the course of this last month since Pete started talking to me about this said, presence matters. You show up, you pay up, and that could be with your time. It's not just money. And you shut up, meaning that you listen. Okay, ask them questions. And they do want to hear your stories. So the best thing you can do for that next generation, our mantra in children's ministry is from Psalm 145, one generation commends your works to another. So the best thing a grandparent can do is to pray daily by name. And I know for some of my children, I have 5 of my own, pray by the hour, pray over those grandchildren. And then the other thing that the, John Bateman said and Houston said as well separately is pray with them. When you're with your grandchildren, sit down and go, Johnny, what's going on with you? How can I pray for you? And just as you drop him off, I strongly encourage you to date them and do things with them. My grandmother had a sewing machine and she made all her clothes and a lot of my mom's clothes. And she made things for us. She would sit and sew and she would spoon feed me scripture. Okay, and I knew her. My mom was an only child. We grew up right down the road from her. She was in the church every time the doors were open. She would watch us. A lot of grandparents have date night for their child. Well, they'll have basically cousins camp every week. We'll have the children come stay with them and let the parents go out and have a night at home and wake up without the kids in the morning. And then they come pick them up. So you're really at your house. The kids love a sleepover. Everything, Amy Tassos has stocked this bookstore. I can give you lists. Read with your children. Our children are growing up in a generation of screens, and you need a real book and a real story. And tell them the story of you. A lot of us have scrapbooks. A lot of us did scrapbooks growing up. Get those scrapbooks out and tell them the story of your family. Tell them about your parents, whether they were or were not believers, and how their life played out. Show them pictures of you from days gone by. But read with your children. And one of the best books I can recommend, which totally fits in the theme of the preschool area, we work on the catechisms. We start doing the children's shorter catechism with the children when they're three. And we strongly encourage you to serve with us so you learn how to do that and you kind of learn how their little minds work, and it freshens you up. All the grandparents are surveyed said serving in children's ministry helps keep us and prepares us for the game. And we see kind of what you all are doing. Sign up for our mailing list. You can email me, jeannie.cox@pcpc.org, and I will connect you. There's a newsletter that goes out that tells you everything we're doing, the curriculum we're on. We're doing creation in preschool right now, what we're learning, our memory verses. And when you're with the children, pull out your Bible or their Bible. And just like Nancy's talking about, read the story that they're reading that week in Sunday school with them. Again, we believe in going deeper, not broader. So the story that we do in Sunday, we encourage the parents to do that same story every day with their kids. You don't have to do something new. Go deep with the story of creation with Genesis 1.
Gina, do you have a list of the weeks you're doing with the kids so they can know?
It's all on the website, and it's all on the weekly newsletter. It tells you exactly what lesson we're on and exactly what scripture we're on for every age group. So the best thing they can do, if you do you do email? Does anybody email in here? Mm-hmm. I still do. That's still a mode of communication, I think, for most of us. You will receive a letter, email in the email each week telling you exactly where we are with each of our levels of kids, because most of you may have multiple. But the key is, I think for preschool especially and early elementary, there's a book called Big Truths for Little Kids that Susan Hunt wrote. Everything that she put out is just gold. And she's all about discipling the next generation. That story is based on a grandparent teaching the catechisms in a narrative form to their grandchildren. I would have, like Nancy said, a chapter book, whether it's Narnia or your favorite children's book. Another great book is called A Hive of Busy Bees, which is a great bedtime story book for you and your grandchildren. It teaches character traits. If you are familiar with Providence, they have a book fair every year. Everything in there is gold. Go see Adair Gregory and go, Jennifer, you go, hey, what are the best books I could check out to read with my kids right now? They may be really struggling with fear or with anxiety or with lying or with sharing. Adair is like Gandalf. She knows everything. She can point you, and they're free. You don't have to buy them. And you can borrow them, but read a child or grandchild or chapter every time you're with them. That's the best thing you can do. And hopefully it connects back to what they're learning here at PCPC. The milestones that Pete asked, we try to teach in preschool, work with them on the first 20 questions of the children's catechism. There are books in our library and in the bookstore, just a little blue checkered book that you can get and go over those. It has all of them in there. And when you're in the car driving around, have that book and in a stoplight, ask them a question. And even if they don't know the answer, talk about the answer with them. You're spoon feeding them the basic building blocks for apologetics later. And it's wonderful. And then the Big Truths for Little Kids is a storybook that I would have that I would just loop. I would just loop that. And then anything that meant a lot to you. Today, we just celebrated, if you were in worship, second grade Bibles. And so get those Bibles out. When you're with them, tell them, bring your Bible. Give them a notebook. Let them draw you a picture of what you're learning. Read scripture with your children. And I encourage you that whatever they're memorizing, like the kids are doing Psalm 139, we're doing Isaiah 12. We do a mini order of worship every Sunday. So we have call to worship that we memorize with the kids because my kids can't read at preschool level. We memorized Psalm 1, Psalm 100. Now we're doing Isaiah 12, and we've done the 23rd Psalm. And so they have that in their hearts by the time they go to first grade. Go over that scripture with them. Share your favorite scripture with them and what you're learning. But the milestones for us are that second grade Bible. We give them their Bible with their name on it. Read it with them. And I know that sounds so elementary, but you stopping and reading scripture with your kids is massive. And date your kids. Date your grandkids. My grandparents lived in North Carolina. And my grandmother passed away without having ever seen her five sons and daughter with all their kids together. So her dying wish was a family reunion every year. So she challenged those boys and Aunt Frances and said, do it. Every year I want you together for 1 week. And they've done it since 1976. I know those cousins like my brothers and sisters, just from that 1 week a year and then the little one-offs that it bred. My mother's family, all born and raised, both sets of parents in the same county, but they never gathered together. I don't know those people at all. They could be you. You could be my aunt or uncle, great aunt or uncle. I don't know them because they never got together. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be beautiful. You don't have to go on a vacation to Florida. Gather your people and tell your people, tell those sweet little Bow and Deals and all those people, I want them together, and I bet you guys do that. But get your kids together, get the cousins together, and tell them about Jesus. Read them a story. You're great storytellers. Tell them about your parents. Show them pictures. It sounds so simple and so elementary, but when I boiled it down and I surveyed tons of people, they said, read with your kids, pray with your kids, and just listen. Just listen to what they have to say. It is not brain surgery, and it doesn't have to be a vacation to Florida. Although I will say, those years growing up to Myrtle Beach, we pooled all our money. That's the only family vacation we ever took. And we spent the inside that week. My dad was in construction, so it was very hard to put it down. It meant the world. And I am bonded like glue to those cousins. I know them, and they know me. And they, you know, some of them are walking with Jesus, some of them are not, but we're tight, and we get together once a year. The milestones are really simple. Read your Bible with your kids. Pray over your kids. Pray with your kids. One simple thing you can do that's a real trick that the kids love. I did it with the Morrison kids. I was watching them because Chris and Sarah had something this week, and her mom mentored me, and Sarah and both Marty were in my wedding, so those kids are kind of like my early grandkids. We pray through the alphabet. So take the alphabet and go, what's something that starts with A that you want me to pray about or something that you know about God? And we prayed through the alphabet to put them to sleep. And it just really, really helped. Just helps you frame it. You know, you can name animals that start with that letter. You can start out easy, but get them into the character of God and praying through the alphabet for the kids. But that's what I have for you, those books. You can always email me if you need a reference for a specific book. But Amy Tassos, Adair, and I can help source you in terms of getting books in your house. And one of the best things we want to do is get Meredith and Stephen out of the classroom. Their classroom is 6 days a week. On this seventh day, we would love to have you in a classroom with our babies and preschoolers so that they can go to worship and to church and to Sunday school. And those of you who help us do that, we're so grateful. But I have way too many young parents serving in preschool. I would love for it to be us, because that way they get to go to Sunday school and church, and they get to worship. And it just helps them, and it keeps us in the game. And so I know that's a big plug for serving, but we also have calendar events on the website, the biggest of which is the Pumpkin Gospel this Friday night. Give your kids a date night. Say, I want to take the grands and go hear Jeannie dress up like a pumpkin and do the Pumpkin Gospel. And then we have a chili supper. And then there's Parents Night Out for kids with disability and their siblings that we have on the same first Friday. But any event that you see at church, we encourage you to tell the parents, hey, you've got the night off. Let me take them. I'll go take them. And we program for you so you don't have, you can just show up with your pumpkin and all the rest just takes care of itself. But date your kids, bring them to church events, tell them what you're learning in the Word. I see you've got the Praying Circles Around Your Children, the Mark Batterson book. There are a lot of books, Power of a Praying Grandparent and Parent, Praying the Scripture Over Your Children. They're all in the bookstore. But prayer works, and it matters. And I had a quote this week. I'm struggling with my son. He's, you know, just being a boy, and he's 20 and in college. And out of the blue, a friend sent me a prayer that had been crafted around the fact that Augustine's mom let her walk into the talking, and she did just shut up and serve and show up. And he became one of our church fathers, right? But it wasn't until late. So your prayers matter, and they go deep. And let them see you doing what you love. So that's what I would say. Anything else you want to cover?
Well, one other thing. Could I get you to brag a little bit? Okay. And I know it's not perfect. What did you do for your children, because they're all in their 20s, right?
18 to 25.
Yeah, but when they were little, that you think paid off now?
In spades, yeah. The one thing that was going deep each week and not going broad, so whatever Pete and Marquet were teaching on, and your Harriet had a huge impact on me. She did a mother's heart when I was little. I loved listening to her teach. Whatever we were doing on Sunday, we did all week long. And so whatever you see us doing on Sunday, take that story and do some piece of it throughout the week and let the kids act out the stories. They love dress up. We would have dress up all over our house and a bag of dress up. And by the end of the week, I wanted them to dress up and tell me the story and act it out. They need to be physical. They need to do it. And we read, the guy that discipled and introduced him, Mary John and I, we read a psalm a day and a proverb a day. And so I've taught my kids to pray through scripture. And so on the way to school and on the way back, we picked a passage of the year that we would memorize together. And they each got to take turns picking it. And we would say all of those. By the time the last one graduated, we were saying 10 years worth of scripture passages that we had memorized together on the way to school and back, and turning those into prayers. So teaching them to pray through scripture has been a huge thing. And so that's big. I mean, I would say that would be it. But, you know, I don't know, Pete, the proof is still in the pudding. We'll see. The girls sound like and feel like they're pursuing the Lord. But one thing that was big for me, and that the ladies in Mother's Heart taught me, do your quiet times in front of your kids. Let them see you with your Bible out. Let them catch you studying the Word and spending time with Jesus. It doesn't need to be separate. They need to see you doing it, and then invite them in. Here's a little Bible book or coloring book for you. I'm spending some time with Jesus. Tell me what you learned. Tell me what he says to you, you know, when you pray to him. And tell me what you think this verse means. But I do think that those were two things that mattered a lot. And then when the doors were open, we were at church. I mean, the Lord has provided us incredible men like you to teach us and lead us and just getting us in. And, you know, Paul Settle, one of our dear friends, he said two things. He stood up in a staff meeting one time, and I could cry thinking about it. He said, if you teach your kids, God is great and God is good, and we're grateful. You've taught them all they need to know. Because God is great, he's large and in charge, he's sovereign over the universe, and he's good. And he sent his son to save us, and we're grateful. And so if you only teach the kids those three things, you've taught them all of theology. And so when you're with them going, what do you need? What do you know about God being great? Well, how has he showed you he's great? Well, how's he showed you he's good? Let's pray. What are we grateful for? And that's really, that's how we framed our children's ministry. In that Acts of Kids Chapel, we adore, we confess, we thank him, and then we supplicate. But that's kind of it all rolled up.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, thank you so much. I want to tell everybody, it is so fun to work in nursery, right?
Right.
She's in preschool. But it is such a joy, and we just love it. It's just the highlight of our time. So,
I'm so glad. Sign up. And twice a month, I forgot to say this, we have put up all the bounce houses in the gym on First Friday from 9 to noon. So tell your daughter to go get her hair done or do something, daughter-in-law. Let us have the kids. Bring them. We will help you chaperone. It's not a drop and go, but it's a pop and play. And then on the third Sunday, Liddy's daughter, Catherine, does song and story with she and Kristen Roberts, where they read stories for 45 minutes. So those are two dates that are built in for you with your littles if you want to bring them.
I'll give you one idea that, as I remember, was one a great help. We had our two daughters, trying to remember what age they were. But at any rate, I told them, I said, okay, girls, I want you to go get every pillow you can possibly find in the whole house. I said, pull them off the couches. Bring them all down here. So, boy, they just love this stuff. So, all right, now let's stack them up here and let's stack them up over here. And we get them as high as we possibly can get and stuff like this and stuff. And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the story of how Moses took his children through the Red Sea. And then when I am the bad Pharaoh, come after you, you push all the pillows down on top of me. They've never forgotten that. They've never forgotten that.
That's money, King. Huh? That's money.
All right, I sent Mark A. to check on the food. We didn't know if they were supposed to go get it or they were going to bring it down, so she's doing that. But, so questions for you now, that for what you might have for anybody. I can prompt maybe a couple, and that is, what would you like your grandparents to ask you about how to deal with your children? In other words, we're all wondering, you know, sometimes we don't know, will our children accept what we want to do with them, you know, or do they approve of it or whatever. In some cases, it's just easy. But a lot of cases, they've got some of their own ideas, you know. And no, we don't want you to spank, you know, we want you to put them in a corner, you know, or whatever. But any thoughts on that?
I feel like one thing, my parents have always treated us as the core disciplinarians of our children, and they will bring, if while our children are in their care, there is a discipline issue, they will bring that to us for us to deal with that. But they've never actually, like, disciplined. They've just always brought those issues to us.
Yeah, one thing that can be a challenge with my parents is I can understand as a grandparent you really enjoy, you know, kind of being the fun grandparent. It might be enjoyable to kind of be like when you're, you know, I'm the spoiling grandparent. That can be very difficult for parents. If you're working really hard to kind of build the discipline in your children, have first-time obedience, and have a set of rules, which you really got to have if you have 8 kids, try to have a set of rules, and then the grandparents come over and say, well, I'm breaking all the rules because I'm the grandparent, and that's my role, is to be, I already did my time as parent, now it's time to be grandparent and have fun. That can be very difficult because you're really undermining your children. And so, it's great to have grandparents who come back and reinforce, you know, these are the rules, whatever those rules might be, and kind of respect the parents' rules for the house if they're trying to, you know, honor the Lord and the rules that they're doing, back them up in that.
That's really good. So when you're visiting with your kids and the grandkids, you might ask your children to say, what are the rules that you want to make sure that we reinforce, okay? That way there's just not any kind of a problem that pops up. And of course, there are always problems that pop up. We're never fully prepared. This is nice. My number 2 grandson just texted me and said, how have you been? First year in college. He's lonely. All right. But we haven't talked a little while, so. But by the fact that you create more conversations, that these are special times when they need it, you know, when they want it and stuff. So he's wanting something from me. Probably wants a little money, but who knows? And the parents just told me, don't send him any money right there. He's not spending his money well. So we're trying to abide by all of those kinds of rules and stuff. All right, questions for over here. So you've got a blended family now. And so, Jay, how are y'all starting to think and talk about that?
Well, we're only 2 months into this. So right, it's early. It's there. Early. I'm struggling a little bit because, as I said, we have a family vacation, and we actually take all of our family, and it's our special time together. And I'm struggling a little bit if we have 2 that aren't, you know, that are children of our new son-in-law. That's a little more difficult for me, so I'm struggling with that a little bit.
We're
going to
have to get
him over it. Yeah, we're going to have to get him over it. And they're also older, so they've been exposed to a lot more than maybe our kids have been exposed to, from a life perspective as well as just their age. And so that always is a bit of a concern as well for us. But I wanted to, well, I've got the microphone. I wanted to share a couple more things. One is, I often ask our peer group here, tell me about your great-grandparents. And many can't say, tell us anything about our great grandparents. I happen to know one of them pretty well because of, he was, my mother wrote a biography about him, but it's a way of saying, you know, we think about leaving a legacy, and it's come, I've kind of figured out really the only legacy we can leave really is character. And so I think about that. My grandfather left me a legacy of history. He was a publisher in New York, and so when we travel with him, he'd always have history about something. And now we just mentioned our oldest grandson as history. So that's one thing. Another thing that I'm constantly thinking about is you can never repeat enough to them truth. You can never, ever repeat enough. You know, I think about the way I learned is through repetition. And so the more you talk about that truth, whatever that truth is that you're wanting to impart, the better it is for them to remember. It's when you think about your parents or your grandparents, you think, oh yeah, he used to always, my dad used to always tell me, you may have to grow old, but you don't have to act it. And so I think about that a lot as I grow old. And so what is it, what you want your children, grandchildren to remember about you? And you, as I said, your children's children are probably not even know your name, but the character you pass on to your grandchildren will be passed on to your great-grandchildren. And that's kind of cool to think about.
You got anything to add to that?
Not to that, but one thing about prayer, and I love that everybody's spoken about it. I had a sweet experience a couple of weeks ago when I went up to Edmond, Oklahoma to see my daughter and her children in their new home. I prayed with the grandkids at night, and I think sometimes we don't realize how important it is that we do that. But I was with Hope, and Hope's 10, and obviously she's a little bit older, but really trying to teach my grandchildren not just to pray, but to pray, particularly ACTS. I mean, you know, some kind of way like that where I'm teaching them, learning how to praise God instead of just letting them say their prayer. And I started out, Hope, I'm going to praise God. We'll keep it simple. I'm going to, you know, praise you, God, that you're our Father, that you care for us. And then Hope chimes in, I praise you that you're a good shepherd, that you come after the lost sheep, that you don't show favoritism. And I was just blown away. And then I got to confession, and I confessed something, and then the sweet Hope, will you forgive me, Lord, for telling lies, and I was disrespectful to Mommy, and I was blown away by it, but I guess, you know, sometimes just with their prayers, they just, you know, they don't, I feel like they don't, anyway, I just learned, and then with younger children, all I have to do is just say, I start the words, I praise you, God, for, and let them fill in the blank. I thank you, God, for, and let them fill in the blank. I'm praying, Lord, for, and let them fill in the blank. I confess, Lord, or help me with, you know, teaching them just with those kind of ways, you know, encouraging them in their prayer life. It's sometimes hard for Jay and I because we're tired just from this weekend, but taking that time and making sure that I stop and pray for them is the most important thing that I can do when I'm with them. And I know that is, and I just don't want to miss those chances.
You know, if I can just add one more thing we had our three of our grandchildren, our three oldest ones we were just talking about, for a week after our daughter got married, they went on a honeymoon, so we kept them for a week. It was near the end of the week, and I think we were a little tired. And they were running around at 10 at night, you know, not getting in bed, and I grabbed the two boys. I learned a hold when I was a lifeguard where you grab them and you wrap them around here. And I was probably a little rough, and boy, they just blew up, and they were really upset, and both my boys, and I got them in bed, and I just started praying for them and asked the Lord, forgive me for treating that way. And all of a sudden, they started praying. It was such sweet prayer. They softened. They saw their grandfather asking for forgiveness, and they started. It was the sweetest prayer I'll never forget.
Wonderful. Question, sure, Ellen.
I heard you mention the ages. Do you guys battle with screen time with your grandkids wanting to be in front of the screen?
We've had three of them this weekend. That was a great battle. It's a set time, and their mother's done a pretty good job. And now, we for these three, I had to be a father to them because their father had left them 5 years ago. And so, it's sweet now that they have a father in their home daily to help enforce that. I think it's a matter of setting the boundaries and holding to them. And you guys probably know much better than us because we didn't have to deal with that when our kids were growing up. But that's real important. I think boundaries are real important for all kids. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah, we're screen time minimalists. So our oldest is 14. None of them have phones. They don't have devices. The school that they go to is a classroom school that doesn't do a lot of technology, so that's very helpful. We did get a landline at the house. So then they can call, and their friends often call them. So it's like being back in the 90s or something. They get calls from their friends on the phone. And that's been very helpful.
Our granddaughter is very good friends with one of their
Yes.
stuff. They are calling.
Our daughter and their granddaughter started something called the Christian Girls Club, which they evangelize on the trail behind our house. So very sweet friendship they have. But we just tried to push it off as long as possible, as much as possible. And fortunately, when they're all in the same boat, they're less concerned, you know, because they see that all the siblings are the same way. So we know we're going to have to confront it eventually, but we just try to keep it out as much as possible.
That's great. Okay, you remember, as I told you earlier, they said that 1 hour with a grandchild and you feel young again, but any more than that, you age real quickly. So all of you are aging real quickly in here right now. So it might be a good time to break and get lunch over here. So we got tossed salad for you, and then a variety of sandwiches for you to take. And I think there's some cookies around the corner there. So let me pray for that. And then some of you do need to go ahead and leave and what have you, just like I told Meredith, she's got to go get those little kiddos so somebody doesn't have to stay longer down there with Jeannie. So let me pray. Thank you, Father, for this great time, what we've heard and shared, and we just appreciate your goodness for us. Bless this food now and our fellowship during this time, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for individual questions, if you want, just come up and talk to anybody up here or what have you.